You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
I know many of you have been around our church or us for a while. Some of you are newer, but I'm curious if you know kind of, you may know a little bit of the origin story of our church, but I'm curious if you know kind of what gave birth to this specific local church here in Milwaukee. Kind of like, what gave birth to that? To like what's happening right now in this room, this community. And yes, there are lots of stories and there are lots of steps that were taken and there were projects completed and there was money raised and lots of hands and lots of ideas, but where did it all start? It started with prayer. And I don't mean that Dave and I got this like cool idea to plant a church or to move to Milwaukee, or and then we took some classes and got trained, and then we raised money and you know, did all these things and then prayed about it. This was actually not even on my radar. But the kingdom of God was, and life with Jesus was, and prayer was. And praying was, and it actually, for me, in my prayer journey, my prayer life really kind of took on, began to evolve and change with really just very personal, fervent, spirit-filled prayers for my daughter, who was going through a lot of health challenges. And slowly, as I would be praying for her, God would put on my heart and mind other people I knew who had kids with problems, and other families I knew that were going through stuff, and soon I got to know neighbors who were struggling with different challenges in their marriages and challenges with their health or with their kids. And I found myself praying for my neighbors. And as I would just pray, I started learning to like listen as much as I talked. And so it was through this kind of process of just praying and listening, and as my prayer circle kept widening and my heart opened to possibility, and somehow in the mystery of this sort of spiritual relationship, God literally said to me one day, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so it went. It all started with prayer. It did not start with my good idea. It didn't start with a suggestion or some kind of campaign or some book I read. It literally just started out of a relationship built on prayer. And prayer is the birthplace of relationship with the divine. It is the birthplace of God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is the birthplace of the miraculous. It's where it all starts. And prayer in its many forms is the primary place where you will be spiritually formed. But it doesn't just change and shape you personally. It mysteriously shifts things around us and apart from us. Prayers have power. And yet, just starting talking about prayer, I can already sense things churning in you. I'm already like interpreting your faces and your body language. Because if you talk to many followers of Jesus about their experience with prayer, many people would respond, yeah, I know I should be praying more. Yeah, I know my prayer life kind of stinks. Or I used to have a good prayer life. And they would talk about it in a way of that's like this religious obligation. Like somehow prayer is something we do for God, or to impress God, or because we're supposed to do it. Rather than this sort of mysterious spiritual connection with an all-loving God who knows you better than you know yourself. And listen, everything around us, in our culture, in our world, and in like the supernatural, is working against us to create a space and time to actually have a prayer life. This is like not something that just comes easily that we stumble into. And yet nothing is available that has more power to change your life, the relationship with Jesus by his spirit through prayer. And I was sitting in front of the ocean a few weeks ago, as some of you know, which is my favorite place to meet with God, but I only get to do it like once a year, every other year. So it's not something I do commonly, but it's a very majestic experience for me. And as I'm sitting there, I was just asking him, Lord, what's on your heart for our church in this coming year. And I know that this isn't like the beginning of a year, but I think of the school year as like the start of the year. It's just the way my mind works. So I'm like, what, as I'm thinking about this year, like, where do you want me to put my energy and my thoughts? Like, what are you inviting our community into? And I just kept hearing over and over again, prayer. And it sounded so, like, basic, like the Sunday school answer, right? Like, they, like, if you grew up in church, always say, if you don't know the answer in Sunday school, you just say Jesus, and you probably get it right. So it's like, well, that sounds like a good thing to tell, like, that God would tell a pastor, like, prayer matters. And yet, it is an area that we can easily neglect. It's just so much more, so much easier or more exciting when we are in control and we can just like create a program or come up with a new idea or do an outreach or do something more fun, just do stuff. It's just easier to do stuff. And yet, this would not be here if God hadn't spoken it into existence. It came from his heart and his mind and his mouth. And those are the things we're invited into, and we won't know what those things are apart from prayer. And so today and over the next several weeks, I'm hoping to kind of open up your imagination and curiosity around prayer. I'm hoping to like move us away from this like strange religious like pressure performance place we get in around prayer sometimes. Like, here's a method to pray and try this and put on your phone, all this stuff. Even though those things are actually good, because we need graces and assistance to help us be intentional about it. But what I'm really hoping is that I will stir up, or the Spirit will stir up in you, some desire and some imagination around how prayer might shape and move you personally and move us as a community and actually like impact the places where we work and our families and this city, that it will actually have power to like change the atmosphere around us. And so although your personal prayer life is foundational, there is something very powerful about praying with other people. I mean, even when I just meet with my spiritual director, just the two of us, I find that like, I hear God's voice so much more quickly and clearly. There seems to be just such power in sort of praying together, the kind of communal prayer. And so as I was praying about God's heart for prayer for our community, I felt like the invitation for me was just not just for me to increase the amount of time and space in my own personal life that I pray, but that I'd invite us as a community to be moving together in that way, in your own personal lives as well as like together as a community. And so I feel like this might be, as I was kind of processing this, a particular weakness, and I don't know a lot about what churches are like around the world, but in my brief experiences with non-white majority churches, and especially churches where people are coming from a non-Western, this I think is a particular weakness for us, for white majority and American churches, this very individualized approach to all of life, which includes prayer. It's just something I grew up being shaped to like have my own little private devotions in my prayer closet. And that's a good thing. But we're invited to lament as a community, to intercede as a community, to groan as a community, to pray for each other, with each other, and pray together for things outside of this room, for the school system, for the city, for more. You know, I remember when I spent a summer in Camden, New Jersey, and I spent all my Sundays at a predominantly Black Baptist church. And they would often, as a community, be praying for their community. And it was the whole communal experience of people, you know, groaning and moaning and praying out loud and worshiping and expressing emotions. And it was just powerful to be part of. I remember going to some prayer services with my Korean friend, who was a first generation, you know, an immigrant from Korea. So English was her second language. And so a lot of these services, for a lot of people in the room, Korean was their first language. And even though my particular friend was a little more reserved in her Asian culture, when it was time to pray, I don't know if you know this, but in a lot of Asian churches, everyone prays out loud at the same time. And of course, for me, I found it a little distracting because it wasn't what I was accustomed to, but it was powerful. And I remember many times, because Unja was in my small group, she would kind of toggle between the Vineyard and a Korean-speaking church. And I remember when she would pray for me, or we would be praying as a small group for somebody in our church, she would start in English, and unbeknownst to her, she's now praying fervently in Korean. And none of us knew what she was praying, but it was powerful because she was connecting with the Spirit, and she was praying in her own language, and it was just very powerful. And so there's something powerful about praying together for each other and praying as a community for burdens that God has put on our heart. So I listened to this podcast recently. So this is going to be a little bit more of a practical talk. I have some assignments for you to do. And one of them is, if you haven't started listening, I don't know if you're podcast people, but the We Are Vineyard podcast is so good. I've listened to almost all of them. They're incredibly encouraging and powerful, and so I highly recommend it. But I have a particular podcast I want you to listen to, and it's the most recent one. This is Jay Pathak, who, if you don't know, is our national director. And this is Josh Williams, who is the Justice and Evangelism Associate National Director for the Vineyard. And basically, I'm just going to steal some ideas from this podcast this morning and share them with you, a couple things that really pricked my ears, and then I just want you to, on your own, listen to the whole thing. Now, the whole thing is predominantly focused around moving towards your city in areas that are in places of injustice and need. But really pricked my ears is this concept of how prayer is involved in that process. And so I think you'll get a ton out of this whole podcast, so I want you to listen to the whole thing. But I'm just going to glean a couple things that really stood out to me from it that I thought were worth sharing. And so it's kind of an introduction for what we're going to be talking about in the weeks ahead, and we're going to be kind of focusing on different kinds of prayers in the weeks ahead. What I really want to stand out as an overarching theme is recognizing a need, whether it's personally in our church, in our community, for the kingdom of God to come, starting with prayer, and then responding as the Spirit leads in the authority he gives us. That is the theme of the whole series, okay? I'm giving you the thing. So let's look together. This is the scripture I'm kind of gleaning this from. This is the New Living Translation of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38, and then chapter 10, verse 1. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Actually, yes, okay. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. I think I might have given the wrong one of the translations. Some say ask him, some say pray for the and I wanted the translation that said pray. It doesn't really matter. I think we can turn those fans up. Do you know how to do that, Greg? I'm just noticing it's getting hot in here. Are people noticing that? Or maybe I'm just spirit. I'm noticing a few people fanning themselves. Yeah. All right, so what's happening in this scene? If you look at it in context, Jesus has his disciples. He's doing all kinds of cool things. He's healing people. He's preaching. He's doing all the stuff of the kingdom, right? And then he looks out over a place, and he sees this immense need. One translation says he had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and helpless. So Jesus looks out over a place, and he sees people who are spiritually confused and lost. Are you noticing that in our culture right now? They're harassed by their spiritual enemy. People are being oppressed by other people and by systems. People are helpless. They can't advocate for themselves. They're powerless to advocate for themselves. And so he says to his disciples, what does he say? Does he say, go and do stuff? He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord to send workers. So we start by praying. We start with prayer. And in the podcast, Jay Pathak says, when you see the problem, don't try to solve the problem first. How many of us, when it's like a personal problem or it's a large-scale problem, we start by trying to fix it or problem solve or create a solution? I can't tell you how many dumb things I've done over my lifetime when facing a problem, because immediately my anxiety hits the roof and I start to panic. And when we're in that space, what do we want to do? We want to fix the problem. We're scared, so we want to take control of something. And so I immediately go into problem-solving mode and fix it. And for many of us, it really takes hitting a problem that's too big for us, an unsolvable problem, something impossible that really brings us to our knees. And then occasionally, when we've then discovered that God meets us in those places, we start applying that even to the smaller problems. And so occasionally I will remember, before I act, before I do anything, let's start by praying. Start by praying. And if nothing else, it is very likely that the Spirit of God will reduce your anxiety, that peace will enter your system before you feel the need to act on something. But then Jay goes on to say, when we're praying for something much bigger than ourselves, like a problem that we see in our city, something that grieves our hearts, something that we notice is wrong, maybe something we're complaining about. Oftentimes, like, when you find yourself complaining about something, God's already at work, kind of stirring you up. We're praying for something bigger than that. Jay says, don't be surprised if you end up recruited as one of the workers. That oftentimes when we get God's burdens and we start praying, what God's doing is actually starting to shape our heart and recruiting us, even the people that are complaining. Because the people that are complaining, as they begin out of obedience just to pray, God starts to do something in their hearts. When those people start to actually be recruited as a worker, that is like a Spirit-filled movement, because it didn't come from them. It came from the work of the Spirit. And it's in those places that we start to pray, we start to feel like what was impossible, I feel totally inadequate to do. Suddenly, in the context of prayer, we feel recruited to step into it. And I found this to be true in my own life. Like, apart from prayer, I feel honestly completely overwhelmed and inept in every role in my life. And like parenting, pastoring, being a wife, like all the things, I feel like a total like failure. And then all of a sudden, I'll pray, especially with other people, and as the Holy Spirit enters in, I suddenly feel like a superhero. I'm like, I think lots of things are possible. I suddenly get this lens of the kingdom, and something happens where I'm filled with hope, and I'm inspired, and I'm ready to continue to do the work, because I'm starting to get God's lens for a thing. So Jesus calls his 12 disciples together in chapter 10, and he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every disease and illness. So Jesus tells them, pray to the Lord. Say, we need help. We're looking out at this world, we're looking out at this city, and we see people who are harassed and confused and helpless and they're powerless to advocate for themselves, and the problems are overwhelming. So we start there. We start by getting a kingdom lens. We start by bringing this to God. And then as the Spirit begins to form us and shape us and possibly recruit us, as clearly was happening with the disciples, then Jesus calls them together and gives them his authority. It's the very next thing he does. So he's like, pray. Then if you feel led to step into something, come over here, because you're going to need my authority to actually bring God's kingdom to a place, to actually do something, because it will be beyond you. But it's not beyond me. So he gives them authority to heal the sick, cast out demons, do all these cool things, to bring a kingdom authority into a space. But if we skip this step, if we skip praying, we're going out in our own ideas, our own agendas, our own power. And if you talk to a lot of social workers, I spent some time last night, Dave and I were at a party with a lot of his colleagues, and a lot of his social worker colleagues were doing amazing work in the city. I was talking to one last night who'd been doing it for like 10 years, and I'm like, okay, I already see the impact on Dave after a couple years, how much is like beaten up on his spirit a little bit. I'm like, what's your secret for like maintaining mental health? And they both start laughing. She's like, you're talking to the wrong person. She's like, I don't have good mental health. Like, I'm not the right person to respond to this. But apart from Christ's authority, that's what happens when we go out into a very damaged world. We just get so beat down by it. It can just totally swallow us up. But something shifts both inside of us in our own formation and outside of us when we start with prayer. Prayer does not just change our hearts. The first shift aligns our hearts with God and gives us eyes to see things from a kingdom perspective. But then we begin to see supernatural things happening, even in the mundane. We start to get God's lenses, things that we may not have deemed as kingdom movements. We actually begin to see them. They seem small and simple and maybe insignificant. They're not. They're not to God. And he'll start to show us those things. Little things, moments that you have with your kids at home, moments in your workplace, interactions with your barista, all sorts of things God is doing that are kingdom things happening. He'll start to give you eyes to see those, where you might have just gone through your day and not even noticed that there was divine encounters happening. But prayer also shifts things supernaturally in the environment, in other people, in the spiritual realm, in mysterious ways that are beyond us, that we are not even always aware of. And this is a bit of a mystery, but if it's real, and if you've ever been in a space outside of church where the Holy Spirit just kind of shows up and stuff starts to happen, you'll know, like something's happening that's beyond me, that's bigger than me. And when a church begins to walk in this authority, not just you personally, but a community begins to walk into this in this kind of authority, imagine the impact that we could have on a city. And if you listen to the podcast, one of the things that was really pricked for me, and I'm not going to unpack it now, but I want to think about it as we think about how we intercede for the city. If you've been in the Vineyard for a while, you've heard of like the 5-step prayer model. Many of you have been trained in that. Well, Josh was suggesting that we use that model as a way to pray for our city, as a form of intercession. So you can start with, God, where does it hurt? Where is my city hurting? What's the diagnosis? What's the root problem beneath this place of suffering, this place of injustice, this place of need? What kind of prayer or step is needed? What's the invitation? How do we start praying for this issue? How might we start moving toward it in some way? And then we make some assessments. Is this working? As we're praying and moving toward a thing, is our efforts making a difference? Is this kind of thing we've stepped into, are we seeing any fruit? Is God's grace on this? We kind of assess it. And are we joining Jesus in his ministry? Or are we just doing a program? But are we actually joining Jesus in his ministry? Because we need to be joining Jesus in his ministry to sustain anything like this. And then how do we continue and sustain what we're doing? And that's kind of like adopting the 5-step prayer model for something bigger than just ourselves, for a bigger issue. And I love that idea. I love that idea, sort of a model for how to pray for things bigger than ourselves. So I want to close with two challenges for us today. The first one is just very simple, and yet takes real intentionality, and it's to start by praying. So whatever you're facing today, in your own personal life, whether it's a small thing or it seems like a small thing, like maybe you're making a big decision about a job, maybe you're in a crisis, maybe you're just deciding where to, you know, go on vacation over spring break, like whatever's the thing, like start by praying. And if necessary, if it's like a bigger thing that you want to pray with people, recruit some people to come pray with you. Say, hey, I'm making this big decision over a job, or I'm in crisis in this thing, would you join me in praying with me together that we would be seeking God and listening and discerning together over this thing? So take steps by praying. My second challenge for you is to take steps into praying beyond your own needs, to sort of step out of our sort of individual mindset And you may feel led to be praying for the members of your small group. I know when you gather with your life group, you guys pray together when you're together, but be praying for them throughout the week. Maybe you begin to pray for your workplace. Just pray for your boss. Pray for your colleagues. Pray for your neighborhood. I had a season where I just sat on my porch and I just prayed for everyone on my street. I just went by name, just praying for them, things I knew was going on in their lives, praying for their marriages, praying for their kids. Maybe as your kid's going off to the bus, as you're praying for them, which I do every morning, pray for their teacher, pray for their classroom that day. And so I'd like to invite us as a church to be praying not only for what God's putting in your heart personally, but praying together for our city. Even if you don't live in Milwaukee or necessarily even care that much about Milwaukee, this is actually just an act of obedience. It doesn't even have to come from a place of, you don't have to care, believe it or not. God will actually give you the love and compassion and the grace to pray. You just make the choice to start praying. You'll be amazed what starts happening in your heart. So every week, I'm going to give us, over the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to give you, and maybe we'll continue, maybe we'll put in the newsletter, I don't know. We'll see what God says about that. But I felt like I wanted to have an invitation that we would pray together as a community for something in our city. And so since we prayed for teachers and kids today, I thought we could just pray for Milwaukee Public Schools this week. We could pray for the teachers, the kids, the leaders, just as a whole thing, however you feel led. But throughout the week, and you can pray for surrounding school systems too. I know a lot of you, the kids aren't in MPS or you're in other school systems, but I would love, since we're in Milwaukee, for us to, as a community, to be praying over Milwaukee Public Schools. So I'm going to invite you. That's my other challenge for you. And then finally, I want to invite you to consider how you might get involved with prayer in this coming year, beyond just your own personal prayer life. So we started something last year called Community Prayer, and we kind of had an open-ended, we came up with that name because it was very kind of open-ended. It was focused predominantly on intercessory prayer, which is praying for, like, coming together and praying for needs outside of ourselves. But we also spent time doing what is known as kind of soaking prayer, which would be then when you'd be praying for somebody who's present, where we lay hands on and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and soak them in his presence and his love and his power and his healing. And that's very powerful. At Vineyard Columbus, where I'm from, they did that once a month. You could come on a Saturday and just receive soaking prayer for like 2 hours. And it was a very powerful thing. I'd love at some point for our church to be able to offer something like that. We also, as you know, have prayer ministry, the end of our Sunday service, those prayer teams that do that. And then we began this summer, we felt led or invited to take some of our prayers out of the building and onto the street, which is something I'd love for you to do all the time in your own life. But it's kind of a fun way to do it as a community and as you're kind of learning to take some risks and step out and pray for people outside the building. And the last time we did that, several folks said, hey, I want to do more of this. I want more opportunities to do this. And so there's a lot of interest in lots of different ways to be involved in praying communally. And so I thought, I'm going to hold an interest meeting and see what people are really interested in doing. Hey, I'm interested in learning more about intercession and I want to be part of that. Or I'm interested in helping to pray on Sundays and get trained to do that. Or I'd like to do more outside the building. I'd like to do, you know, whether we set up chairs like right outside the building, pray at the meal site, in the park, however we feel the Lord is leading us to do that. I want to be part of something like that. So starting next week, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, the 18th and 25th, I'm going to have 2 interest meetings. This is no pressure, no obligation, but this is just to come and talk about it. Like, this is what I'm interested in. I've done this for a while. I could have maybe lead or be trained up to lead a group like this. This is the level of commitment I'm interested in, or I'd like to just come and sit, be a fly on the wall, just listen and decide if I'm interested. Either way, you're all welcome to come. I'll have some snacks for you in case you're starving. But if you would like to come to the interest meeting, I would like you to fill out a questionnaire ahead of time just so I can gather some data of what people are interested in, what's popping, what the Lord's stirring up in people to help guide our time together. So this week's newsletter and next week's newsletter will have a questionnaire in there. You can just, it'll take you 2 minutes. You just pop it open, check some boxes, submit it, and that's just to help me get an idea of how to guide the meeting. Would also love if you listen to this podcast before the meeting as well, okay? So I'm giving you homework assignments, I know, but this is for anybody to come, even if you just wanna find out if this is something you're interested in. But as I'm moving forward, as I feel like God is really pressing on my heart for us to really be a praying church, I just want to find out how God's moving in your lives and what he's stirring up in you and how we can create some structure around that. All right? As I started out in the beginning, prayer is the birthplace of the miraculous. This is where it starts. I want to invite us to close our time together by taking communion. And so if you are at a table, there should be some little communion elements in front of you. If you're at a, on the sides, someone at a table can bring you one. Hannah, can you bring one to me real quick? Thank you so much. You know, my former pastor from Vineyard Columbus, he would say, prayer is the bridge over which the kingdom of God comes to earth. And so this is how it starts. There's tons of good works we can do, and we should do them. Jesus said we need workers, but we got to start with prayer. We got to start in Jesus' authority. So we come to him humbly, we come to him in our limitations and our own lack of power, and we ask him to fill us up with what we need from him today. And so I invite you, as we take communion together, we can celebrate that we can walk in Jesus' spirit because of what he accomplished for us on the cross, that we are new creations, that we are under a new covenant, that we can walk in freedom. And even as we stumble into these next steps, we can stumble in with freedom. And we can fall and get back up. This isn't performance. This isn't earning God's favor. This is walking in freedom in his spirit. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body broken for you." Let's take and eat the bread together. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood poured out to invite you into a new covenant, a new way to live with me." Let's take the cup together. And so, Lord, we just celebrate today what you accomplished for us on the cross. And I pray you just fill us fresh with that freedom, with help us to receive in the depths of our being your forgiveness and your grace and everything you accomplished so we could walk in your spirit. Just fill us fresh with your spirit now. And as we move into ministry time, Lord, I just really felt like the Lord was saying this morning that he wants to fill many of us with his spirit to kind of bring our prayers to life. It was as I began to really walk with the Spirit that my prayer life became something that I longed for and desired. And so I pray that you would fill us fresh with a deep desire to be in your presence, to commune with you, to receive from you, to talk with you, laugh with you, hear from you, just to connect with you in a deep and meaningful way. And I pray that we would do this individually and as a community. In Jesus' name, amen. As we move into the a time of ministry, there were two things. God gave me a verse when I was working on this that I forgot to say while I was talking, but there's a verse that says, "You have not because you ask not," in James. I think it's in James. And thank you, Talita. And it's like many of us are on a very, just we're aching for something. And we're going all these directions to try to get the thing. And James is like, you don't have it because you're not asking God for it. And so part of what I think God wanted to invite you to today is like, what's the thing you're going after that maybe you just really haven't nagged God about? I felt a reminder that God invites us to nag him for stuff. That there's actually a whole parable about that. And so ask and ask again and keep asking. And then the other thing I really felt was just what I was praying, that God would fill us fresh with his spirit. If your prayer life feels rather like kind of empty or dull or a religious experience, and you would love to be able to start to walk in a little more joy and freedom and life and adventure with the Spirit of God, I just would love to come alongside and just pray that God would fill you with the Spirit to just have a longing and a desire to meet with him more often. And so if any of those things speak to you or anything else you need prayer for, you got a thing going on in your body, you got a thing going on in a relationship, a works thing, whatever, there'll be people back here that would just love to come alongside and pray with you this morning. So come back and get prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.